I was listening to a preacher today, and he was talking about a number of years ago, he built a, I think he didn't build it, I think he actually bought it. But anyway, he was in this house. It was a little bit of a smaller house, and later he wound up selling it, and the people who bought it tore the house down and built a new house. And he was talking about how one day in his study, he was thinking about that little house that he had and thinking about all the memories that he had there. And he said while he was doing that, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, do you realize that the only place where that little house exists is in your mind? That house doesn't even exist anymore. It's been torn down. Now, to you, it's as real as day. You can remember the rooms. You had memories there. You can remember where you ate, your kids ate, where you fellowshiped, where you slept, all of those things. And it's real to you, but in reality, it's gone forever. And he said, that's right, Lord. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, that's exactly how your sin is. Amen. That in your mind it can seem real, it can seem as if you messed up so bad and you made so many mistakes and you committed so many failures and faults. And to you, I mean, it's as real as it ever was. It's as real as exactly when you committed it and realized it was sin. But to God, friend, it's gone forever. It doesn't exist in any other place but in your mind. So like we all, that's where they're getting excited about, friends. Your sin doesn't exist anywhere else but in your mind. No, if you've confessed it, he's forgiven you, cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And friend, from this point forward, he's going to treat you as if that sin never happened, if you never committed it. So like we always pray on Sundays when we do the altar call, if he's forgiven you, why don't you just forgive yourself? Let it go and move on. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand. And our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now to give you a Bible. Aren't you thankful for our praise and worship team? Amen. We got Miss Kim back. Kim is married to Robert Berry Jr., also known as Earl. And she was leading that second song there, and so we're glad to have her back. You know what? She sent me a text, or I correct that, she sent my wife a text at the beginning of April saying she was expecting again, so hopefully we won't lose her. You'll have to ask her at the end of service whether or not that's the truth. I'll give you a hint. It was April Fool's Day. So me and my wife, we got so excited, and we sent back texts saying, oh, congratulations, and anyway, so I told Robert, Earl, I said, I'm going to get her back. So this is me getting her back. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, and let's look here in verse 9. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I want to read that again. So then they which be of faith are blessed. Not trying to get blessed. Not desiring to get blessed. No, if you be of faith, if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have faith in Christ, you are blessed. But not only are you blessed, you're blessed with what? With faithful who? Abraham. Let's keep reading. Verse 10, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law, it is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Oh my goodness. Christ hath redeemed us. Not will redeem us. Not is thinking about redeeming us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has done it. It's been done. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Say, that's me. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's read verse 13 and 14 again. Christ hath redeemed us. He's redeemed me. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's me and that's you. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Friend, I'm telling you, and this is the title of my message, when you understand this scripture changes everything. Friend, I kid you not, I've always read this. I've always known this. It's been a staple in my spiritual diet ever since I knew what Christianity was. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written, everyone that hangeth on a tree is cursed, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. I've known that, but friend, I'm telling you what, I know it now. I mean, I flat know it now. What it means to be redeemed from the curse and to be blessed, not just with any blessing, but with the blessing of Abraham. Friend, I promise you, and my goal is during this series, to some way, somehow, I can't do it, the Holy Spirit's going to have to do it for you and for me, is for the light bulb to come on in this subject and for us to see what it means to be blessed and what it means to be redeemed from the curse, not a curse, the curse. What it means to be blessed with not a blessing, but the blessing. Friend, if you understand that you have been redeemed, that word redeemed means to be bought back, bought away from. It means as if I sold you that bottle of water, that bottle of water is in your possession. If I redeemed it, it means that I bought it back from you. It's no longer in your possession. You can't drink it. You can't open it. You can't tear the label off. It's not your bottle. It's my bottle. I bought it back. Christ has bought you back from the curse. The curse has no right to touch any part of your life. I mean, no part. Touching your kids, touching your body, touching your family, touching your health, touching your business. Christ has bought you back from the curse. And not only has he bought you from the curse where the curse has no right to you any longer, but he has put slap on you the blessing of Abraham. And when you understand that the curse has no right to your life and you're blessed with that blessing, then the only thing left for you to do is to access that promise through faith. Amen. Friend, but we got to understand what it means when God says, I've blessed you, and what it means when he says you are cursed. In our terminology today, you know, we were poking fun at it a couple of Sundays ago. We use words so loosely. You know, we gave the example of every time I go to the grocery store, they're always out of eggs. Really, every time. We use words like every time. Me and my wife were talking about that the other day. You always, hold up now, always, really, always, really. No, not always. Some of the time, but not always. Anyway. We use words like that, and words don't mean as much to us as they should. Where with God, your words mean everything. In fact, the Bible says you'll give an account before God for every idle word. That out of your mouth, you're either blessing something or you're cursing something. That out of your mouth, you're either binding stuff or you're loosing stuff. that literally your words make you justified or they make you condemned. And friend, I'm telling you, when God uses the word bless, he doesn't mean it like we mean it. Or like I'll put it this way, like we used to mean it, because we're about to mean it like God means it. But in our terminology, when someone sneezes, what do we say? God what? Bless you. We don't mean what God means when he blesses. We just mean, hey, you sneeze, and so out of habit, I'm going to say, God bless you. Or let's bless this food. Do we really understand what we mean when we say let's bless that food? Or are we just using a word? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's a good confession. But friend, do you really understand what it means? See, we use this word blessed so loosely, but in the Bible, when something was blessed by God, friend, it meant everything. I mean, it meant everything. And when a curse was something on there that God was allowing, it meant everything too. I'll give you an example. Go over to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. And on the screens, if you can pull up, it'll be a minute before we get there, so just leave it up there for me. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, and verse 22, we're going to the book of Genesis. And let me see where I want to take you here. Let's go to Genesis 28. I've got a lot of Genesis I'm going to take you to tonight, so I just want to pick which one I want to take you to. Well, you know what? Let's go to Genesis 27, and we'll come back to Genesis 28. And in Genesis 27 and 28, we see Isaac giving out blessing to his son Jacob. And if you know your spiritual homework, you know the story here. The blessing really doesn't belong to Jacob. It belongs to Esau. He finagles his way around it and tricks both Isaac. Well, he tricked Esau first, but then he tricked Isaac too. Esau sold him his birthright. And then Isaac went in, and or Jacob went in and clothed himself kind of like Esau. And apparently Esau was a very, 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 very hairy man because Jacob slapped on some sheepskin and went in there. And Isaac said, you know what, I think this may not be Esau here. Let me feel you. And he felt that skin, and he thought, man, this really is Esau. So Esau must have been very hairy. But anyway, he gets that blessing put on him. Jacob gets that blessing put on him. And all the blessing is words. That's all it is. It's words. But when Esau hears that the blessing has been given to his brother, watch his response here. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse 33, and this is when Esau's confronting Isaac, his father. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is it that I've taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. Now, this is one of the things when a true blessing from God comes upon something, it is blessed indeed. It is blessed surely. And what Isaac is telling his son Esau is that when I pronounce these words over him, I can't take them back and give them to you. He is blessed, and he is blessed indeed. Now watch this in verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me even also, my father. Now notice this. Yeah, at this point, Isaac hasn't given Jacob any money. It's not like he's just given $10 million that belonged to Esau to Jacob. No, all he gave Jacob was words. And when Esau hears that these words have been given to his brother Jacob, he starts crying bitterly. Why would he have that kind of reaction? Because he knows what the blessing will do, friend. He knows, because he's seen it in his father's life, he saw it in his grandfather's life, what the blessing will do if it's on your life. He knows the power of it. And what I want you to see through this is when God says he has blessed you, friend, there is power within what he has done. And it is not something to take lightly, and it is not something to just barely know a little bit about. You need to know what it means to be blessed by God. Esau, when he realized that blessing wasn't going to come upon his life, he wept bitterly and said, "Father, can you bless me as well?" And watch his response. Verse 35, if we'll study this out, you'll recognize why he couldn't bless him with the same blessing. Verse 35, and he said, "That brother cameth with subtlety," meaning he tricked me, "and hath taken away your blessing. And he said, is it not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted thee these two times. He took away your birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hath thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Notice his urging, "Speak over me, father. Please, Father, just speak over me. Surely there's something you can speak over me." Why? It was more than just words. These people understood what it meant to be blessed. And they knew the difference it could make in a life. And you have one son, Jacob, who will do whatever he can to get that blessing, even if he's got to trick his brother and trick his father for words. Why? He knew what those words would do. That it was more than just a salutation, "God bless you." That those words meant something. That the blessing of the Lord had something in it. And you got one brother who didn't value it like he should at first. But when he realized that blessing wasn't going to come upon him, you got him weeping over words. Why? He knew they were more than words. He knew that when the blessing of the Lord was on something, it meant something. And friend, I'm telling you, when you understand what they understood about the blessing, and you put that in context with what the Bible says in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3, that God has blessed you. Friend, it changes your life forever. Go over to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God making the heavens and the earth. And he's made the sun and the moon and stars and earth and all of those things, and all of it's been good. But he's getting ready to make his man Adam. And after he makes his man Adam, I want you to see what the first thing he does to him is. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look in verse 22. And God, talking about Adam, and God blessed them. This was the first thing God did to man. He makes his man Adam, and right after he makes his man Adam, the first thing he does is put a blessing on him. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." Now, not only do we see him doing this here, but go down to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God did what? God blessed them. And watch what he says. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing and that moveth upon the earth." God makes man, and then right after making man, the first thing he does to him is he blesses him. Even in later generations, when they're remembering what Adam did and what happened in Adam's lifestyle, the first thing that they mention about Adam is this. Go to Genesis 5, right next door. Genesis 5 and verse 1. In Genesis 5 and verse 1, we see them looking back over history up to this point, And it says in Genesis 5 and verse 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. God makes man, and the first thing he does for man, even before he makes a garden, even before he gives Adam a job to guard and keep the garden, before he does any of that, the first thing God did with this man is he put his blessing on him. And this word blessing, it is phenomenal. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it's one of the only Hebrew words that I've ever seen do this. It means barak, B-A-R-A-K. You can write this down if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do so. The word bless in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word barak. Now, many times in teaching on praise and worship, you'll see this word mentioned, where man blesses God, man baraks God. And what that means is when a man does that, according to the Hebrew, it is to bless as an act of adoration. Meaning when I bless the Lord with the fruit of my lips, giving thanks unto his name, I'm blessing him with adoration. He's receiving glory. He's receiving worship. I'm blessing the Lord. But here's what's phenomenal about this word. Anytime where it's used, and it's the same word, but when man blesses God, it's an act of adoration. When the Bible says God blesses man, like in what we just read, God blessed Adam, it means this: to empower, to bless man as an act of benefit, for man's benefit. When we bless God, it's an act of adoration. When God blesses us, it's an act of benefit. When God blessed Adam, it was more than him just saying, all right, Adam, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over the whole thing. It was more than God just saying words. It was an empowerment. When God blessed his man, it empowered his life. Friend, I'll put it to you this way. Anytime the blessing of the Lord, you could clearly, when you study scripture, could identify it as this. The blessing of the Lord is an empowerment to prosper. Now, like I said, with the favor of God, don't let that word prosper trip you up, because I know we got people coming from a lot of different places and backgrounds, and we got Baptist and Methodist and every other kind of person here, and we want to teach the Bible in a way that can be digested by everyone. This word prosper means to push forward, to cause, to make progress. When the blessing of the Lord comes upon your life, it's empowering you to make progress. Literally, you could define it as the hand of the Lord coming upon you. My kids are in swim class. And, you know, sometimes you kind of put your hand on their backside to kind of help them move forward and make progress. What is that? When that hand comes upon them, it's a power beyond their might, a power beyond their ability, helping them move forward. The reason why Esau and Jacob would fight so hard over this blessing was because it was more than just their father speaking words over them. When those words came on them, it was an empowerment that would hit their life, causing them to make progress. I mean, literally pushing them forward. It's like what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 with King Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I mean, God was just involved in his pushing forward in his progression of life. When the blessing of the Lord came upon Adam, it was a force that would help propel him in life, push him forward into his calling and destiny. And yes, you will see, even in finances, causing them to increase with almost, I won't say natural effort, but without hard work, I'll put it to you that way. without toil, without struggle. The blessing of the Lord is an empowerment to prosper without you losing your family or struggling to do it. And that is why this scripture is so important. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow with it." When the blessing of the Lord came upon Adam, it was an empowerment to prosper. When the blessing of the Lord came upon Jacob, it was an empowerment to prosper. The blessing maketh rich. I love what one preacher said. We got this whole thing backwards, and it's the truth. We say we got a new house, and look, I'm blessed because I got a new house. No, the reason why you got the new house is because you're blessed. Do you catch the difference there? Oh, I'm in good health. I'm blessed. No, the reason why you got good health is because you are blessed. You're not blessed because you got health. You have health because you're blessed. The blessing of the Lord empowers your body. It empowers your mind. It empowers your business. It empowers your finances. It causes each and every one of them to excel and move forward. It maketh rich. The blessing maketh rich. When the blessing comes upon your life, it's not you making you rich. The blessing, it maketh rich. Oh, don't make me preach to myself this evening. Come on now, I know it was raining when you pulled up, but listen to me. The blessing, it does something. Come on, when it's on your life, the blessing does something. It maketh rich. It's not me making myself rich. It's not you making yourself rich. It's not you trying to promote yourself. It's the blessing doing it for you. It's the blessing of God. Somebody said, why would God want to do that? Because he's good. Oh, he's good. I was listening to a rabbi the other day, and I loved what he said. He said, when Christians think of God, they define him in ways that they can understand with words, like, what is God? Well, God is love, or God is mercy, or God is power. He said, but when we teach God to our little kids, we define him in ways that are tangible. He said, let me ask you this. What does God taste like? Oh, what do you mean? What does God taste like? What does God taste like? You know, in the Psalms, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't just see it, taste it. What does God taste like? And he said, when we're teaching our little children about God, we'll take drops of honey and put it on wax paper and just drop it, little drops, and tell them to take their finger and touch the honey and taste it. And when they taste it, we stop them and say, that's what God tastes like. Because he said in the book of Ezekiel, and he gave all of his scriptures, where it says God tastes like honey. The meditation of his word is like honey. It's sweet to the soul. It's sweet to the taste. That's what God tastes like. He said the reason why we do that is from that point forward, whenever that child will taste honey, he will remember the sweetness of God. He will remember the goodness of God. What does praise smell like? When we're praising and worshiping God, do you know it has a smell to it? The Bible says it's like the finest perfume that you've ever smelled. Think about it. When you're worshiping God, you're giving God a smell. It comes up to him like sweet incense. Oh, friends, so they try to put things like that in tangible terms. But I love that about the honey. God is sweet. Oh, he's good. This mindset of God of being some kind of judge, it is completely law-minded, one. But then two, even in the law, there were people who would walk in this blessing and would see phenomenal things and manifestations of the goodness of God in their life, including being made rich. And that's not a preacher term or a full gospel term. That's a Bible. Well, it is a full gospel term. The full gospel, the whole thing. Amen. Why would he do it? He's sweet. He's sweet like honey. And he wants to be sweet to you. Back to my message. The blessing, it's an empowerment. For what? For life. To make progress. When God originally put his blessing upon his man, he intended man's health to only get better, to never die, to be constantly renewed and restored day after day. When God put his blessing on man's life, it wasn't just to enjoy this little garden. Ooh, isn't it beautiful? It was to spread that joker all over the earth. That's the mindset of God. It is promotion. The path of the just grows brighter and brighter with each passing day. Progress, promotion. But something happened. Now, I'm going to give you ample scripture by the time this thing's over, so don't you worry. I'm going to show you time after time when the blessing of the Lord came on someone, what it did for him. But what happened? God put a tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told man not to eat of it. He said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, you know the story. The serpent came in, convinced the woman to eat of the tree. The woman convinced the man to eat of the tree. But when they died, they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. And when they did, something else came in the earth. Not only spiritual death, but something called the curse. Watch what the curse did. Genesis chapter 3. If you don't understand this, you'll never understand how to live successfully. I'm convinced of it. Because you got to understand why it is that cities, nations, people fail to make progress. Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at this in verse, for the sake of time, 17. Genesis 3 and 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. That's more than God just saying, ground, you're cursed. What is the curse? The curse is the opposite of the blessing. Where the blessing promotes progress, is empowered to progress, the curse, it is the complete opposite. It is something that grabs a hold of you, your life, your family, and pulls it back. It's something that fights success. It's something that fights progress. It's something that attacks your body and begins to cause it to deteriorate. It's something that attacks people's minds and begins to cause it to deteriorate. It attacks their finances. The ground is cursed. The earth has a curse in it. And watch what it would cause this man to do because the ground is cursed. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. Meaning the ground will produce. It will produce. But because the curse is in operation, the production of that ground, it will not be a pleasurable thing. It'll cause you sorrow. Now what does the blessing of the Lord do? It maketh rich. And adds what? No sorrow to it. In this life, you can make progress. You can make headway. But as long as you're doing it and still operating within the curse and under the curse, it will cost you. It will bring sorrow in your life, wear away on your physical body, and you may have money, but you don't have peace of mind. And here's the thing. Even if you have money and you're operating under the curse, guess what happens? You have to work like the dickens to keep it up. Why? Because if you stop keeping it up, that curse will do what it always does. It'll pull that thing back down. It'll start deteriorating. That's why you can drive parts of our towns that used to be flourishing centers, man. I mean flourishing centers where the wealth was. But you look at it now, and if people don't maintain it, What happens? The curse will do what it always does, what it's done ever since Adam. It'll pull that whole community down. I know of businesses. Man, when I grew up as a kid, it was the Sears and Roebuck magazine. I'd plop that baby open in my grandmother's house, circle all the toys I wanted. Oh, and now you look at what happened. Where is Sears now? You know, as a teenager, my favorite store, Circuit City, where is it now? It had success. Oh, but where is it now? As long as the curse is in the earth, you can make headway. You can. But friends, it won't be without sorrow. And when you relent just a little bit, that thing will pull everything back to earth. Let's keep reading. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. What does that mean? It's going to get hard. You're going to be out there trying to produce, but it's going to be hard. Why? The blessing and helped you, pushed you forward. The curse makes everything hard. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it were you taken, and for the dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. Notice he's saying, you'll produce, but it's going to be with sweat. You're going to do it hard. It's a hard life with thorns and thistles to make any kind of progress. And at the end of it all leads to nothing. It all goes to dust. Why did that happen? Why is it still happening today? The curse is in the earth. Now, here's the point of teaching on this. Because this is great once you understand it. What man has done for the last 6,000 years is to do its best to manage the curse. To niggle around and still try to find a way to succeed and grow and prosper, to go to school and to learn. How do we manage this economy? What? To go to seminars and get training and everything else, to try to manage this system. The system of the world is you got to work hard. You got to go out there. Why? They're trying to manage the curse. And don't get me wrong, wisdom is the principal thing. I'm a big believer in education in college and high school. And it's a proven fact that the nations that are most educated, that's the nations where the most prosperity is. Why? They're managing it, man. And we need to know these natural things too. So don't get me wrong with that. But my point is, the world only knows how to operate with that system. God's idea after man fell was never to try to teach man how to manage the curse. As soon as man fell, the only thing on God's mind was to get the blessing back. To get man to his original state. That curse, you can finagle around it forever, for so long, but eventually it will do what it always does. His goal was to bring the blessing back. And it started with Noah, bled over into Abraham, and went from there. The blessing, it is an empowerment to prosper. And what we're going to learn in this series is what it does, what it looks like, and most importantly, how to walk in it. Because friend, what we just read in Genesis chapter 3, you are redeemed from, my brother and sister. Somebody said, well, what about Adam's sin? Oh, Romans 5 answers that. If by one man's sin death reigned, how much more by one man's righteousness shall righteousness reign? Oh, friend, that we can reign in life as kings. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Jesus paid the price for the curse. The curse went on Jesus. He redeemed you from it, and he did what he always wanted to do with Adam. He blessed him. Friend, God's trying to get the blessing back. He has ever since day one. That's why you can read your Bible from Genesis to Revelations and you'll see God blessing stuff as much as he can. Why? Not to say, oh, God bless you, have a good day. No, to empower it. To empower it to overcome the world system, to overcome the curse. You don't want to miss our Wednesday nights. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Every about, every eye closed, let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Father. We are redeemed from the curse, and we are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Father, we thank you that our life is not hindered. Instead, it's empowered. And Father, we access these promises through faith. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that our eyes are open to the promises of God. We see them and we make a decision to walk in them. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.